Good morning. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry, here with a Wednesday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time. As I spent some time with God this morning, I'm continuing in the devotional journal I wrote some years ago called In Christ Alone, Discovering Your Identity in Christ. We live in a time where it seems so many sources try to define who we are. We have a culture that wants to define us by our occupation, the work that we do, by our social status, by our economic status, even by our race. But God says that's just stuff that is about you. It isn't who you are. Who you are is defined by Christ, for those that are in Christ. I love the quote that John the Baptist talked about as he proclaimed and prepared the way for Jesus, and saying that he must become greater and I must become less. And really, that's true for each one of us as we live life. Each day, Christ must become greater in us, and the old us, the one that died to sin, the one that died to self, must continually become less. Today's topic in the In Christ Alone devotion is, In Christ I am forgiven. It kind of follows up the pattern that we've been talking about the last few days. In fact, today's verse is a follow-up to yesterday's. And actually, in the devotional that I published this morning out of that book, I used the same two verses yesterday and today. Because being rescued by God and being forgiven by God kind of go hand in hand. And to live life knowing that you're forgiven. I would suspect that you, as I have, have encountered people at times who, well, they'd like to get involved in church, they would like to grow in a relationship with God, but their response usually, or at times, sounds something like, God would never take me back. God would never forgive what I've done. I've gone too far. Or the old, the building would fall down if I was to walk into it. And one of the things about Scripture that I always have loved is it portrays people honestly. You don't get one side. It's not like it's a book full of political commercials where all you hear and read are the highlights and the good promises. And no, this is God's truth. And you see not only the good that God does through people, you see the depth of sin that God forgives in people. Whether you want to look at the great King David, a man after God's own heart, was also a man after another man's wife. A man after the murder of that woman's husband so that he could have her as his own. But also a man after a heart of repentance, of crying out to God in sorrow and anguish over the realization that he had indeed sinned greatly against God. a man who knew the forgiveness of God. You read the New Testament, and many of the words that you will read, especially after you get past the Gospels and the book of Acts, are written by a man named Paul, who originally went by the name of Saul, who, well, needed forgiven much. A persecutor of Christians, a man whose life revolved around arresting and imprisoning and even killing people simply because they believed in Jesus and weren't afraid to say that. A man who knew much about forgiveness when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus and began a process of transformation in his life. You see, the Bible is full of examples of people who, well, many would probably look at and say they're beyond help. They're too far gone. They've crossed the line. And God says, no. In Christ, they too can be forgiven. You see, one of the things about living in challenging and uncertain and chaotic and confusing and whatever label we want to put on these current times is they often make the need for forgiveness more visible. Now, there is a catch, so to speak, and catch isn't the right word, but it's the one that came to mind. Jesus says that as you forgive others, you will be forgiven. There's an expectation that in Christ, as we receive His forgiveness, that we too will forgive those who have sinned against us. It's part of the model prayer that Jesus teaches and prays in the Gospel of Matthew. You know, forgive us our debts or forgive us our sins, depending on the translation, just as we forgive those who have sinned against us. You see, living a life in Christ that knows forgiveness is a life that gives forgiveness. There's so many times that we're hurt. I write in the devotional, it says, I hate to be the one that lets the cat out of the bag, but in case you haven't noticed, people can be mean and cruel and downright nasty to one another to the extent that, well, it can be difficult to forgive some people. It can be difficult to want to forgive some people. And yet when God looks on you and me, He looks on mankind and each one of us individually, He could say the exact same thing. That person's kind of mean and nasty. I don't know if I want to forgive him. But He does. Not only does He forgive us, He wants to forgive us. You see, in Christ, we have the ability to live in complete confidence that God forgives. And it ought to change the way we interact with one another. Today, as we pray, I'll spend some time praying about the forgiveness that we need from God each day. This isn't a once-in-a-lifetime deal. This is a daily and often a multiple times a day deal. We're each growing. We're each on a path of growth in Christ. We've not reached perfection yet. The Apostle Paul writes and talks about doing the things he doesn't want to do and not doing the things he wants to do. And he says, oh, what a wretched man that I am. And we reach a point that internally we would really like to not need forgiveness anymore, because we would really like to not be doing things that require it, and yet we do. We do those things and we need the forgiveness. And God says that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we have in Christ. Is that the Christ people see and experience through us? That willingness to forgive. It's not easy, believe me. And sometimes it seems never ending. The disciples kind of had that problem of, how often do I have to keep forgiving my brother? And the general consensus in the days was seven times was probably pretty good. And the disciples come along and they think, well, you know, if I multiply that, then perhaps that's a good thing. And Jesus says, how about 70 times 7? And depending on their personalities, I can imagine some of the disciples was already right away creating their checklist. 70 times 7. Okay, that's a lot of lines on this spreadsheet, but hey, I can keep track of this. And then they begin to realize just how many lines that is. And I believe that they caught the point Jesus was making. This isn't something you count. This isn't something you keep track of. When your brother repents and comes and seeks forgiveness, you forgive. Just as when you repent and go to God and seek forgiveness, He forgives. Would you spend some time this morning praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that forgives, that You have given us Jesus to teach us, to show us, to be the example of what forgiveness looks like. Father, thank You for not holding our sins against us, but to remove them from us and from Your presence as far as the east is from the west. And so that when we come to You seeking and needing forgiveness again, it's a new opportunity. It's not added to the sins of our past, because those are gone. And Father, help us to recognize how fully that You forgive as we learn to forgive one another. Not that we're keeping count, but as a new opportunity each time that they come seeking that forgiveness. Father, may we live life as those who have been forgiven. As Jesus told the story of the woman who had been forgiven much, and how she loved because she knew. May we be those children of yours who know we have been forgiven much and so we love much. Father, today I pray that we would live not as those who hang on to the past hurts, but those who live as forgiven. And those who live as forgiving. Father, as anger and hatred boil over in this nation, and people looking back centuries at wrongdoing that was done by people that have not lived for a very long time. Father, may we as your children not get caught up in that, recognizing that you don't hold the sins of the fathers against the children. And that the sins that we ourselves commit can be forgiven as we turn away from them and reject racism and hatred and bitterness and jealousies and favoritism and prejudice and all the things that go against the nature of Christ. So, Father, may we live and walk in freedom, knowing that we've been set free, that the past isn't our responsibility to even make right. It's our responsibility to make our actions right. Father, may we live in a way that provides hope, that provides encouragement, that provides love to those who feel that they have nothing and no one. Father, today as I spent time in your word and with this devotion, I also spent time with the prayer guides that we're going through each week. And today we've been praying and be praying about one need, about living in a common need of sharing and helping one another. The need of using our resources for good and not for evil. Father, we live as those who are forgiven. May we forgive more freely. God, today I pray that the children in our homes and our lives would see the examples of parents who have been forgiven and who know how to forgive. Children, there's much that is being learned and they don't get it right any more often than we do. May we help teach. Oh yes, help teach repentance. Help teach how to change, but help teach the power of forgiveness. That our children would grow up being in confidence of knowing your forgiveness and living lives that have been forgiven and lives that forgive much. God, today I pray that Jesus would be represented well by the things that we say, by the things that we do. That we would be very careful in how we speak and act and treat one another. That rather than taking advantage of forgiveness, that we would live in such a way that there would be less and less that we need forgiven, that our lives would be more and more like Jesus would want them to be. That we wouldn't defraud people by treating them poorly with the mindset, well, they have to forgive me anyway. That we would live with a pure heart and pure motives. Father, today, may we be more like Jesus than any other day that we've ever lived. And then tomorrow, be even more like Him. And continue that for each day that You give us life on this earth, that we would lift up Jesus in all things, and that He would draw many to Himself. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday morning, devotion, encouragement, and prayer time. I do hope and pray that you are greatly blessed by God today, that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.